This is The Grad Perspective, where fresh voices in sports media and business take to the mic. We often hear from the veterans, the industry giants decades into their career, but what about those breaking in? I'm your host, Kira Johnston, and each episode I sit down with a homeschooling graduate who is making their mark in the industry. If you are chasing a career in sport or just want to know what it really looks like, you're in the right place. Honest conversations, real experiences, stories that inspire the next wave.
I just make that phone call, send that resume, having two strong women who lead the club in Sonia Hood and Jem Watt as our president and CEO respectively. So getting asked if the person asking you isn't confident that you could do the job.
Today I am joined by Will Boddington, Media and Communications Coordinator at North Melbourne Football Club. Welcome, Will.
Thanks, Kira. Thanks for having me.
Of course. What was it like coming into Homesland again today?
Yeah, a bit weird. Weird how much I actually remembered it because it has been a while since I've graduated and even been here. But yeah, happy to be here. It's a bit nostalgic.
In the industry, we love an elevator pitch. I say every week, if we had a dollar for every time someone said, give me an elevator pitch, we'd all be rich. So I'm going to start every episode asking the guests to tell us a bit about themselves.
Sure. Sports mad country boy, hailing from Colac. Just looking obviously to get involved in sports as much as possible with a radio background as well. So coming out of uni, fell straight into radio. Aside from that, massively into my music and fitness. I've taken up running lately. Want to do a marathon in October, but that's probably not going to happen now because I've been injured. But live in Geelong at the moment with just a friend of mine and a little puppy named Teddy, a little border Kelpie. So he's a bundle of joy. And yeah, just chugging along really with a real lack of responsibility in my life at the moment.
You are so incorrect. You've got a massive lack of, you've got a massive responsibility. Sorry. I wish I could run. If there is one skill I could have and just like pick it up overnight, it'd be running. Running terrifies me.
Oh, everyone can do it. Well, not everyone.
But. I don't think I can. I think I'd need a psychologist and a therapist to be able to get out the runners, but that is okay. I think we've got a bit of a theme going on at the moment. Two Colac boys in a row.
Yeah, apparently you had Liam on last week, which is pretty cool. Interesting to see that without putting myself on a pedestal or anything, he's following a pretty similar path, if not like the exact same to what I did. So that's cool to hear. Hopefully I can be a little bit of a guiding influence for him, I guess, depending on what he wants to do. But cool to see other Colac boys making it in the industry.
It was not planned at all, but it worked out magnificently because anyone listening will now be able to hear someone's journey probably a few years ahead of Liam and where that next step could take us. So it's really special to have you both aligned. Can you take us back to where your passion for sports media started?
Well, through school, I can't remember exactly what caused it, but I really wanted to get into media. A bit of a guilty pleasure of mine is theatre. I love a bit of theatre. I'm a theatre geek, and during school I was into drama and theatre, and I think my want to get involved in that, whether it was acting or theatre or anything, sort of morphed into media because maybe I grew a bit more of a love for, I guess, behind the scenes, behind the mic or whatever it might have been. So, and always had a passion for sport. Obviously footy, a massive passion, but really all sport, played, watched, went to any sport I really could. So, when I was leaving school and looking for courses to do at uni, like it just seemed obvious that sport media molded into one, and here we are. So yeah, I can't remember exactly, I guess, what ignited my passion for media. It just sort of continued to grow throughout my younger years.
I want to debunk this theatre thing because I think it is like ridiculous how many people I've met in this industry that are coming from a theatre background. I was also a dancer, did acting all throughout my childhood. People can't believe me when I say I've never like played sport in my life. That was not me. I was definitely the dancer theatre girl growing up. There is maybe four people in my team that have a theatre background, acting background. Do you think it is just that confidence maybe that people get through those avenues that then make them go into media?
Yeah, potentially. I can't sing either. So, that sort of ended that dream pretty quickly. But I think what I found in theatre and sport, if there's like a commonality there and it's a real strong value of mine, is community and connection. And I think those two things really like as in sport and theatre, really resonated with me because of the connections I made. And they attract sort of different people. And I like meeting different people from people from different backgrounds. And I think just those two specific areas really resonated with me. So it might be just that sort of community connection sort of piece that sport brings as well as theatre. I don't know. That's probably where my mind goes.
If you're listening to this and you're an actor or a dancer or into theatre, watch out because you might be going down the exact same path both of us have. You graduated a few years ago. Was the internship experience still as big in the course when you were doing it as it is at the moment?
Yeah, for sure. Without knowing full well, I guess the difference is how it works at the moment. I did mine obviously back in 2019 in my last year of graduation. For the first 2 years of your course, it was really something that you looked forward to because it'd be hammered into you really from the start about how important the internship piece was. So that was a real focus of mine throughout my studies, was looking forward to that. I did mine at the VAFA and GSAC. I actually grew a fondness for not only broadcasting and media, but for, I guess, PR and marketing and that sort of area as well. So I was really cautious not to pigeonhole myself. So when I did the internship, I wanted to take on sort of two different areas, GSAC being a sports and aquatic centre, local government sort of based role, administrative, that sort of thing. And VAFA was more the marketing, public relations and the more sport piece. I benefited greatly from sort of doing two different sort of ones, as busy as it was and as draining as it was. I really look fondly back on the internship program.
You were probably running out of hours in your day, but it definitely held you in good stead. So you complete your internship experience and then you graduate. What was the feeling like to get that piece of paper and then to be out in the big wide world?
Yeah, delivered in the mail because I graduated in COVID. So that was fun. It felt good. And obviously it took a little while for me, and I don't want to just blame COVID for it, but it was a bit more difficult at the time. So it felt a little bit anticlimactic, to be honest. But the feeling of feeling ready to approach whatever came, despite the obvious challenges that all presented, was really reassuring. It just took really for me to show that degree and explain it to my future employers about how hands-on it was, about how much skill I learned, how much real industry exposure I had that allowed me to sort of really get into the career really sort of seamlessly. And I think my performance since then has proven that. So it felt good to get the bit of paper in the mail and really know that going forward that would serve me well.
I would love to dive into COVID. Hopefully we're not about to experience a global pandemic anytime soon and no one listening has to experience it. But what's your message to those that don't get a job straight out of uni or have to be a little bit more patient, have to live through a pandemic when you get that graduation certificate? What would be your advice in that sense?
Yeah, well, if I could use another little anecdote, I actually did have a job lined up at GSAC in their sort of administrative department, which looking back on, I'm actually kind of grateful that fell through because of COVID and because of cutbacks. But that was obviously sort of pretty deflating and challenging at the time. But for me, it was about what's next, not sort of being down in the dumps or thinking that it's not going to happen. It's about sort of continuing to build skills, whether that's through your own things, whether it's through just research. But probably the number one thing for me was I just reached out to people. So my first job being in my hometown of Colac, which I guess is a little bit of an advantage for me, having connections back in a small community, it literally just took me to walk into the radio station and just say, hi, look, I've just graduated uni. I know it's challenging at the moment, but here's my resume. If you wanted to have me in for a demo, anything like that, I'm all ears. And fortunately, like a few months later, I got that phone call to go in and sort of test myself, and everything happened from there. So yeah, it's just about putting yourself out there, I think, is the main thing, and being confident. If things don't happen, it can be really easy just to start thinking the negative side of things. You know, this isn't for me. What do I really have? But it's just about continuing to get out there, because something will stick.
Absolutely. You started off at Ace Radio and then you went to K-Rock. Yep. As we mentioned, we had Liam on last week and he could not speak highly enough of country radio and how much he loves that. What did you learn in both those roles?
It's very open, I guess, because of the smaller staff structure, because, I guess there's less people around to do things. You actually have more to do in that sense. It can be a lot more busy. It can be challenging. But I was able to do so much. When I was hired at Ace Radio in Colac, I was hired as a journalist, news presenter, but also a copywriter, creative writer for advertisements, which is really, if anyone is in radio listening to this, is a very, very strange role. But the person before me had that role and she had a real passion for writing ads, and I just sort of naturally took that on. But that just wouldn't happen at a metro radio station, or even, you know, a station in Geelong where I'd end up working. So I was more than happy to be a yes man in that regard and take that on, which is probably another piece of advice, is just don't sort of take or deny any opportunity that comes your way. So that's probably the biggest benefit of country radio, is just you've got a lot of flexibility and a lot of support to do more. And there's just space for it. So I was able to learn a lot of skills, and again, using that term, not pigeonhole myself into any specific area, as much as I had a passion for certain areas and not so much for others. It's just the skills I learned were really valuable in that country radio space.
I love that advice so much. Just say yes, because you have no idea what door that yes will then open, and it could be a flow-on effect and in reality change your life. So
and you're not getting asked if the person asking you isn't confident that you could do the job. That's probably something I was really lucky for as well, the people that I worked with, and I'm not sure if Liam mentioned and anyone in particular at Colac and Ace Radio, but they were a really good crew who had a lot of confidence in not necessarily in my ability, but just my a willingness to do something that I was going to succeed. So it's about showing willingness and wanting to take on any role that comes your way, really.
As we mentioned off the top, you're now at North Melbourne as media and comms coordinator. Was that always a dream goal? Was that in the pipeline for a while?
Yeah. Well, as I briefly touched on before, during uni, I really gained a passion for the PR communications space. So I guess the stuff away from the broadcast side of things. My skill really lied in broadcast, but I guess my passion light in that side of the PR and communications. And actually, when I was in radio, I would see jobs pop up for these sort of media communications roles in all sorts of sporting organisations, not just AFL. And I did apply for plenty of them, and some of them just fell through, but I loved radio, so it didn't really get me down too much. But I always wanted to ignite that passion and still... I guess feel like I could work in the industry. I didn't want to just sort of coast along and say, well, I've got this job now. It's pretty safe in radio. I'm good at it. I get along well with my fellow staff members, all that sort of thing. I don't want to get too comfortable. So I was always keen to try and challenge myself in that space that I always had a passion for. And fortunately, the North Melbourne jobs just worked out for me. So, I couldn't be happier with where I'm at the moment.
That is one of the hardest but most rewarding decisions, when you really love where you are and you love the people you work with and you're good at your job, but you just have an earning to take another step and go somewhere else. And in the moment, it's like, oh, am I making the right decision? Am I not? But once you get into that new role, it's a really rewarding feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And it was the same moving from Colac to Geelong. I spent 3.5 years in Geelong radio. I spent 18 months in Colac radio. As I've mentioned already, the people in Colac were, I just got along so well with them. The culture there was terrific. And it's sort of just accepting that that's still going to be there. You're not working in that environment anymore, but you've built those connections and they're always going to be there for you. And just acknowledging that if you leave on good terms, there's always someone there for you, as long as you're, staying willing and putting yourself out there. So, even moving to Geelong, initially I was a bit hesitant because of how comfortable I was with my colleagues and with that culture I was a part of. But I knew the opportunity would be really good for me. And at the moment, you generate culture yourself anyway. So I was confident that wherever I went, I would form friendships, form relationships if I just put myself out there and continue to put on, you know, a brave face and a confident face. And that's what happened in Geelong. Ended up loving that just as much as I loved Colac. And now I'm sort of in that phase now at North Melbourne where I'm still, you know, coming out of my shell a little bit and trying to work myself into that culture. But I can tell already that that's going to come to fruition. I mean, hopefully, but I'm confident it will. It's just about, yeah, trying to step out of your comfort zone as much as you can, because eventually it's just going to become comfortable for you.
That's just such an incredible mindset. Everyone listening, take Will's mindset and put it in your life, because it will get you places, as we can see with Will. Obviously, in this industry, there is no typical day, but what does your role entail?
Yeah, so a lot, actually. I think media and communications coordinator sort of seems pretty broad, because it is.
As broad as you could get.
Yeah, so day-to-day is actually really hard for me to sort of nail down as to what specific tasks I do, but essentially I'm coordinating the media. So any external media organisations, whether that be our broadcasters like Channel 7, Fox Footy, even, you know, places like SEN Triple M who want players or spokespeople from North Melbourne on throughout the week. It's about sort of coordinating with them on what players can go on their shows, press conferences during the week, making sure media are aware of that, briefing players, making sure that our messaging is consistent, especially when you're working at a struggling club. That's really, really important. So that's something I've actually really enjoyed, sort of developing messaging and writing. Everything from dealing with like community requests that come through to the club, for people going through hardship, fans and members, all sorts of things, organising club kits for photo shoots, all those sort of things. So just dealing with a lot of requests that come from our external stakeholders or broadcasters or fans, members, that sort of thing, and just making sure that the right people know what they need to do and where they need to be.
I obviously do not work at North. I'm not a North supporter, so I'm very much an outsider, but I think North do AFLW better than anyone in the league. I mean, the fact Laura Kane was someone who had a big role in starting AFLW, and now we see her journey. Talk to me about the AFLW program and how much North embrace it, because I think they do it better than most.
Yeah, I feel so fortunate to be, gearing up for a W season as part of the team, I guess. It's so embraced at North Melbourne, even from something like just having two strong women who lead the club in Sonia Hood and Jem Watt as our president and CEO respectively. So, that's obviously really helped in terms of just our representation and how women feel at our club. And the W program is just, I don't want to speak on behalf of them, but I have heard from them themselves. They don't feel like just like an afterthought. They really are just as important to us. And we want to see them succeed, because at the end of the day, with North Melbourne winning the W Premiership last season, it tells our fans and our members that success can happen at North Melbourne. So they are really, we are really proud of our W team. We take great pride in the fact that we do W really, really well. And it does put a bit of pressure on me to ensure that that continues, and of course many other people around the club, but super proud to be able to be a part of that W team, but obviously don't want to speak too soon about with the season still starting. We're certainly looking to continue the journey and not think too much about the past as we look forward to 2025. But certainly we're pretty keen for the season to get started.
I know you probably can't say it, so I'll say it. I'm pretty sure North are going to go back-to-back, and I'm very excited for it. I remember yesterday being Carlton-Collingwood, the first ever game, and fans locked out, and now we're at season 10, so it's pretty spectacular.
Jasmine Garner, the first ever goal kicker, now a Ruse captain, our new captain. So, it's pretty cool to see even people like her just become almost household names as well. I guess another little anecdote from me is a few weeks into my job at North Melbourne, I actually started the day that the W program came back for pre-season. So that was sort of a lucky little thing that happened in terms of, getting to integrate myself into that program pretty easily. But another thing that we did was went down to Tasmania for our community camp. And I haven't played footy since juniors, but during my junior footy time, I mean, girls footy wasn't even considered. There was a couple of girls who would play for other teams with the boys, but eventually had to give it up because there was nowhere else for them to go after that. But going down to Tassie for this community camp, there were a couple of clinics on for a couple of the days, and there were just all girls, hundreds of them, just all playing football with the reigning Premier W team, getting photos with the Cup, meeting their heroes. It was really, really cool, even just to see that growth in just 10 years and to think about what it could be in another 10 years is pretty cool to think about.
There is nothing that gets me more emotional than seeing a dad and a daughter at AFLW. Yep. I think so many people, the media specifically, talk about how good it is that girls now have the opportunity to play. I think a really big missing piece is how good is it that dads that are having daughters can think about their life and think about in 10 years they can take their daughter to the footy and they have representation to look at. Yep. They're genuinely, I could cry at every AFLW game when I see little girls with their dads.
Yeah, and it goes to show just what representation can do. Just having that, having AFLW, just having it, and for girls to be able to see that and go, oh, that woman's playing football. Like, why can't I do that? It's just something as simple as that is just really, really important. And like I say, really proud to sort of be a part of that. It's awesome to see.
My cup is so full. I'm so glad. It worked out so well after Liam and just on the eve of AFLW. We have absolutely aced the timing of this podcast.
Yep.
What keeps you motivated day to day? I mean, so many moving parts in the industry. It's a very quickly paced industry. Sometimes we can get lost in the moment, but what keeps you motivated each day?
Certainly at the moment, being new to a role, it's just new challenges. I really value learning. It's like a seriously strong value of mine is just learning and education and taking on new information, whether that be meeting new people, you know, that's learning, whether it's just doing a new task, doing something for someone else. Like, I guess that's what keeps me motivated. I did say when I left my last job to go do this one, I never want to be in a situation where I feel I've plateaued and I'm just sort of coasting along. I always want to grow. So I'll never feel comfortable at a job if I actually feel comfortable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
That's what keeps me motivated is just continuing to learn new things. And I'm getting a really good daily dose of that at North Melbourne at the moment with a new job. So obviously, eventually, as I learn things and settle in, you know, that sort of piece will start to taper off a little bit, but there's still obviously things that you can do daily that keeps you motivated, whether that's teaching new people that might come through the doors, guiding them, whether that's, you know, the players or just new staff members. It's a really important to me is just learning, and whether that's receiving learning or giving learning, that's probably my biggest motivator, I think.
Do you love proving to people that you belong in the job that you've got? Because I'm getting that vibe.
Yeah. Belonging is such a core part of just the human psyche, I guess.
Yeah.
I value that as well. And being a part of Clubland really ignites that as well, because I think footy does it really well, or just sport in general, just making people feel a part of it. I mean, we just talked about W, and obviously it hasn't always been that way, but even seeing the growth of that and just seeing how women can feel even more a part of the sporting landscape and footy in general, I really, really value that. And that's what keeps me going as well, is just seeing people feel like they're part of something. I certainly, yes, is my answer to that question.
I feel that on a deep level. My favourite part about a new job is just proving to everyone that I belong to be there.
Yep.
And it's not like a ego thing, if that's the right word, but it's genuinely just the learning aspect of it and getting to absorb as much information from as many people as you can, and then going out and saying, yeah, you taught me that 2 weeks ago and now look at me doing that thing. It's a really, really nice feeling. You touched on many aspects of your job. What's the most rewarding part of it?
That's a great question. I really enjoy seeing, particularly in the W space, the players who perform in the media, like this is really specific, but players who might do interviews or just go on and do some sort of media opportunity, come out of their shell and sort of build that sort of personality. I think W in particular has become really personality based. People want to hear from the players. They want to know the person behind the player. So that's probably the really sort of, the thing that makes me most happy when I see, I guess, some of my hard work translate over to players performing well in the media, because it just means that they're building their fan base, they're making themselves a personality, and that in turn obviously helps the club as well, gets more eyeballs and so on. So I guess that tells me that I'm performing well.
It's really interesting you touch on that, because I've been a bit of a critic in the past for AFLW, and the fact that I think one of their biggest sort of letdowns in the first few years was the amount of player movement. And obviously that had to happen because it was a new competition and players, you just have to take the best opportunity you can. At that time, it was not even near a full-time job. So if another club was offering you more, you definitely had to take it. But in many aspects, I think it really hindered the growth of the competition, because no one could latch on to a player. No one could say, that's my favourite player and that's why I barrack for the club. And I think in Australia, it's a little bit different. In America, a lot of people follow individuals rather than a team. So we've got that on our side, in the sense that many people follow the club for the club and not the players. But I think in many senses, it was that lack of personal interaction with the AFLW players and the lack of getting to know them over many years that made it really hard to be emotionally connected. But I think media teams and both the players are doing an incredible job of that at the moment.
Yeah, a bit of a sport media lesson there, that the individual is really becoming the product more so than the team. And it depends who you ask, but I think social media obviously plays a really big role in that. But on a personal level, and I hope no one minds me saying that I'm a Bulldogs fan, but probably just in the men's program, I don't think I necessarily find myself having that same level of passion for the Bulldogs in the women's program. Obviously, I'm a North fan now, but even being in Geelong, my former job, we had a lot of Geelong W players come in, and I thought, I'm not a massive fan of Geelong in the men's, but I just really wanted the Geelong women's team to do well. So I think, I'm not sure if that's the same mindset for others.
Absolutely agree with that. I'm Carlton in the AFL men's. I go to Carlton AFLW games. I definitely support them. But I have equally as much love for the Sydney AFLW team. I think they've done an incredible job coming in North, and the success they've had, Melbourne and the Pioneers they have. So I definitely think that's a shared feeling amongst many people.
And it might be probably a younger fan thing who aren't as rusted on with their clubs. But yeah, I think a lot of people are just probably putting their team bias aside because they're seeing either personalities or just the successful teams in the W, and they go, well, actually, I like them. I don't. As more than I like my team that I go for on the men's. And I think that's fine. I think that's okay. And it's just sort of a byproduct of what's happening really in the media landscape at the moment, is that the players who are putting themselves out there, who are the biggest personalities, getting the more eyeballs, getting the more love, are probably the ones who are bringing fans across to their teams as well.
Absolutely. Our jobs are very glossy from the outside. And I always preface this question by saying we have such a good job. Like, we're so lucky to work in the industry that we do. However, there are lots of misconceptions about working in the industry. What's one that comes to mind that maybe you were a bit shocked by, or you think other people wouldn't know?
That's a good question. It is difficult. It can be quite draining when things don't go your way. I think a lot of jobs are quite ritualistic. You are doing the same thing every day, and there's just boxes you tick every day and then your job's done. Probably, I'm not sure if it's a misconception, but certainly just the switching off part is very hard to do.
You literally can't. It's very difficult to switch off.
And I do like that a lot of workplaces, whether that be in sport or outside, are really valuing switching off. And North Melbourne does the same thing, and I'm sure a lot of other clubs and sporting organisations do as well. But it's easier said than done. And I'm not saying that I get phone calls late at night or that my bosses hassle me all the time. But it's even just when you're on your own thinking about what to do the next day and that sort of thing. It does happen a lot. I do find myself sort of still lying in bed going, oh, what have I got on tomorrow? I haven't done this, so I need to do that. It probably does happen in this industry a lot more, especially, you know, coming out of radio as well. I mean, that's literally 24 hours and you're always thinking about what content you're going to be doing the next day. If nothing's happening, you're stressing out about what you're going to put out. If you go off air, someone has to do something. So, like, I think that's probably – I don't think it's a misconception because people understand that sport happens on weekends and half
the hours.
You'd
still be shocked the amount of people that are like to me, oh, so we can do this thing on Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, that's not how this industry works, guys.
So, but, you know, it's also deeply rewarding. So – but yeah, I think that's probably the biggest, one of the bigger challenges is just the switch off part, I think.
100%. And the reality is we're still fans of the sport. So even if we're not working, we're scrolling through social media, seeing what other clubs are doing, seeing the news pop up and, you know, it's a 24-hour news cycle, as you mentioned. So even when you are off, as you said, your boss isn't calling you at 10 p.m., but you might be scrolling through TikTok and the reality is your work brain is still triggering.
Yeah, oh, that club's doing that trend. Why aren't we doing that trend? It's like, yeah, it's even little stuff like that. And, yeah, it is pretty difficult, but I don't find it annoying or I find it challenging, but I don't find it frustrating or annoying or I just find it part of the job and I love my job. So, yeah, it's all just part of it.
Absolutely. The positives definitely outweigh the negatives in our job. What's one piece of advice you've received over the journey that you've really held on to or you want to pass on to others?
Good question again. I can't think of any specific time I was told this, but whoever told me just submit that resume or just talk to that person or just give that person a call, whoever's told me that along the line, thank you, because that's sometimes all it takes. Connection is such a big part of this industry, and just being present and being in the back of people's minds if they're ever thinking about hiring or whatever it might be. So just make that phone call, send that resume. I don't think you're gonna, like, you can't control what other people think, but you know that you're more stressed about it than anyone else. So it's just about trying to step outside that comfort zone and put that stress aside for 1 second and just hit send or whatever it might be. And I say that because I've received that advice so often, and anyone who's ever said that to me, I appreciate, because it's something that I always think about. Yeah.
I love that you mentioned that, because so many people wait for the Seek ad or the LinkedIn ad, and the reality is that there is so many people applying for that job. If you had just sent a resume 3 months earlier saying, hey, this is me, you might not have a job opportunity at the moment, but I'm here if you ever do. Then when you do apply, they've already got you in the back of their head subconsciously. Yep. And maybe it won't work out for the first 3, 4, 5 times, but eventually it will pay off and it will really help you out.
Yep. The nature of hiring at the moment as well, and the industry is, it's a lot of it is internal. So people who are already in the industry, whether that be like directly in that organization or just in other parts of the industry, they're always thought of first before that job advert even gets put on Seek. So if you're part of that circle, I'm not saying it's easy to get in there, it isn't, but once you are, it's you know, you the world's your oyster almost.
Absolutely. I reckon in the past 2 weeks we've had 3 people from different avenues in the business say, do you know anyone for this job? Do you know anyone for this job? And eventually it does get put up, but they've already had inside word of people that may know someone. And the reality is it could be someone you went to uni with 5 years ago, or someone I mentioned the other day on the pod that Simone said on our first day of uni, make sure you treat everyone in this room with respect because one day they'll be your boss. And I've always held on to that because it really is true. And whether it's someone you've bumped into in a coffee shop or someone you were sitting next to on a flight, you have no idea who they're connected to and which door they could open for you. So just be open with anyone that you have a conversation with.
100%. Yep. It's just about putting yourself out there. And even when you are in a job, it's just important to build connections wherever it might be. And leaning into to any opportunity, even if it's something as little as just finding out you have a common interest with someone and just tapping into that. I even had a guy at Brisbane who just responded to a bulk email I sent out recently and just said, hey, are you from Hamilton or that side of the world, and I was born in Hamilton. And we ended up just getting talking, and all of a sudden I'm connecting with this guy who works at the Brisbane Lions. So it's just like, it's just about not shying away and putting yourself out there, I guess.
100%. Breaking the fourth wall. I don't know if I should be admitting this, but the podcast is great for people listening. It is equally as great for me because I get to sit opposite someone every week that works in the industry, has different stories and different connections. So when I came up with the idea, of course, I was thinking about how many people it could benefit and the stories that could be shared, but it's equally as beneficial to me and the person sitting opposite me.
Yep.
So,
are you trying to create competition for yourself by saying that?
Yeah, look, maybe I shouldn't have. anyone can start a podcast at the moment. Everyone's joke at the moment is you should be able to get a podcast license. So who knows? If anyone out there wants to make connections, just start a podcast. Because even Liam mentioned that last week. He probably wouldn't have his job if he didn't just start a podcast. So if you're thinking about it, just do it. But if someone's listening to the podcast right now and wants your job, what should they be doing at this very moment to help get themselves there?
They should be keeping an eye out. We talk about not necessarily just applying for every job on Seek, but just do it. It can be a pretty lengthy process. It's a good question. I think for me, it was always about keeping things very personal. The amount of times I hear, even still, the person who interviewed me at North say, "Oh yeah, got another resume in that was just AI generated." You just got to put in the time and effort. That's really broad advice, but you've just got to sort of knuckle down if you're ever applying for a job, and just do it, and don't rely on AI or whatever it is. I know that's really sort of simple, weird advice, but just being personal and putting yourself out there and building the connections, even by just applying for a role, by your resume, if it's personal, will look a bit different. It'll stand out. So that's probably a piece of advice. It's probably what helped me get my job/jobs. Was just trying to stand out. I'm not saying you have to crack a joke or something in your cover letter, but you can tell when someone has put time and effort into applying for something. So, yeah, that's a little bit of advice. I go for quality over quantity as well. Don't just shotgun it.
Fabulous advice. I think it's been a common thread in the podcast recordings we've done so far. You are applying for a job of people that write for a living. They know when it's AI and they know straight away. Do not pull out ChatGPT to write your resume and your cover letters, because I guarantee you it goes in the bin before they even read the second paragraph.
Yes, for sure.
Not good.
Yep.
Now, Will, you have shared some incredible, incredible stories with us today. Great advice. I finish every episode, and it's a bit of a tricky one, so I apologise, but I finish every episode with one word to describe your journey so far.
One word. Oh.
You can go with one sentence. I gave Liam one sentence. Yep. He couldn't pick one word.
Incredibly challenging and uncomfortable, but rewarding.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today, Will. I have loved talking to you. It actually feels like I'm like holding up a mirror and having a conversation with myself. So it's been a lot of fun.
Perfect. Thanks, Kira. Loved being back here.
You've been listening to The Grad Perspective, where we dive into the real journeys of Holmes Glen Bachelor of Sports Media and business graduates. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at thegradperspective.pod and share the podcast with a friend. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, with another fabulous guest.